We
This
are ready.
conference will now be recorded.
There you go.
All right, I will call the April 15th Planning Commission meeting to order virtually. First item on the agenda is the minutes from the previous meeting of February 19th.
Move to file the minutes.
I'll second.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Carries, minutes accepted. We'll now call to order the public hearing for the Renaissance Zone District Text Amendment and pass it over to Sarah.
Fabulous. All right, it's here. The Renaissance Zone Text Amendment. The way that the city attorney and staff has found this text amendment for the Renaissance Zone to best work is we're actually going to do this in phases. So this is just the first phase, does not include everything that we've talked about this Renaissance Zone overlay district including, but we wanted to get some of the perhaps more useful things for developers right away out. And then we will be working on getting the overlay district that really targets some of the zoning changes that we want to see kind of in a second round. And that language is already being drafted and those conversations are already being happening. But we wanted to get the ball rolling on this first part. I should mention in your packets that were mailed out in the top corners, if you can see that, there's like a little handwritten number. I numbered the pages in an attempt to kind of help keep you all organized a little bit so that I can refer to certain pages. So staff comments for this whole meeting are on pages 6 and 7 of the packet. So Renaissance Zone Text Amendment. So this is going to create the district. It's going to set the boundaries of that district. What we've talked about, and there is maybe there's not a map in there. It contains downtown, it contains some corridor for East Highway 12, West Highway 12, some of the neighborhoods south of downtown, and then some of the neighborhood that's east of downtown residentially. And so we've talked about, often we talk about downtown when we're talking about the Renaissance Zone because that's kind of the largest concentration of commercial area. But it's important to remember that there's more area than just downtown that's included in this Renaissance Zone. It's completely contiguous with the Opportunity Zone, which is an IRS federally designated area with some IRS tax incentives. It also includes where MUC is currently located, their offices, their old power station, or power, no blank on the name, power generation plant. And some of that area kind of west of downtown. So that's not in the Opportunity Zone, but it would be included in these incentives. So as I said, this establishes that zone, those boundaries. It also allows for a couple parking incentives right away. So it allows for, I should pull the actual ordinance itself, which is starting on page 9 for everybody. If we go to section, so this will be a new section in the zoning ordinance. If we go to letter E, the large capital letter E, parking, off-street parking requirements will still be as required per the zoning ordinance and per the underlying zone. But this also allows for up to 50% of those parking requirements to be kind of credited back to them, if you will. So those sort of targets include construction of below grade or contextual parking. It allows credits for a suitable number of public parking spaces. So maybe the parking spaces are downtown and they're allowed to be used publicly, not just for that private business. Installation of bike parking, installation of electric charging stations, so trying to encourage kind of multimodal transportation with some of this, some shared car amenities, those kind of things. the parking will, and like I said, all of these other, you can see there's a couple kind of areas where we've just reserved some space for performance standards and this open zoning, kind of as we've called it, where we're trying to encourage creativity. That language is coming, and some of this parking stuff will be expanded with some of that as well. The other thing that this ordinance does, we found it best to put in some of those fees that we talked about wanting to reduce or relax completely. That is also set in this ordinance because we thought that would be the cleanest way to do this. So building permit fees, land use of application fees, sign permit fees, sewer availability charge, and water, sewer access charge and water access charges are also eliminated from kind of the building review process, if you will. So that's what this ordinance contains. We also have representation. Linda Mathiason is on our call because Vision 2040 Housing Subcommittee has been having quite a few conversations about this ordinance, and they have submitted an additional letter of support. And so Linda's here to kind of speak to that, answer any questions if anybody has questions for that particular group. But they, in general, they find that this aligns with their goals and they're kind of aligning their goals with these goals. Which is very exciting to see kind of broader buy-in to some of these projects and this kind of initiative that we're working on. So I will pass it back to you.
That's me, Sarah.
Yeah, Christine, if you'd like Linda to speak a bit.
Yeah, go ahead, Linda.
Great. Hi, I'm Linda Mathiason, and I am with Vision 2040, the housing subgroup. Jerry and Steve attended our meeting in February, I believe, so they were able to see the various people that are around the table. It's a wonderful broad-based group. We have upwards of 35 people, but we meet on the second Monday of every month, and we've been doing that continually for the past 3 years. I've been part of it, and then it was started actually 5 years ago when Vision 2040 took off. So with that, you can see your letter. I think all of you have the letter of support. And so we made a recommendation in February to go ahead and support the Renaissance Zone. We would like to include it in our 2020 housing implementation plan. We have an annual plan looking at what we want to do. Our goal is to increase the quality inventory, the inventory of quality rental options. But in 2020, we have expanded it to also include owner occupied. We feel that that's very, very important to our community. And you may know better than I do that 60% plus of the single family homes in Willmar proper are actually not owner occupied, they are rentals. And so we really hope that this Renaissance Zone will be moving forward. We wanna see people not only work in Canandaigua County, but we want them to live here, to contribute to our way of life, to participate, look for entertainment, volunteer, and just be part of our community. And we feel that the Renaissance Zone moving forward would be a very good benefit. And when we met earlier this week on Monday for our regular monthly meeting, we prioritized our goals on how we could help the city's comprehensive plan because of the mayor and the city administrator, as well as David, who is on the call tonight, reinforce that the housing Vision 2040 committee is also the city's housing task force. And so we're very pleased. So on behalf of that, our 2020 implementation plan, when we voted on Monday, the top two goals of the three were to support the Renaissance Zone, which you're here tonight to make a recommendation and review the overlay. And so we really want to focus our efforts because we've had some success with multifamily housing units, and that's been wonderful. Our group has been part of that in various ways and also submitted letters of support. And our second goal that also goes with the overlay, but it was the permits that Sarah's talking about, is we would really like to be able to include in our goals, how do we promote that? How do we help the single family residences along that corridor in the Renaissance along Highway 12? How do we help the businesses? How do we help identify the amenities that that neighborhood needs to be attractive? And so I am here to answer any of your questions the best that I can on behalf of the committee as just one member of it. And if you have any questions about the letter of support, it's all there. So that's my piece.
Thank you. This is a public hearing. Anybody who wishes to speak about this ordinance may do so. Please give us your grace and patience as this is our first public hearing we are doing virtually. If you wish to speak regarding this ordinance, kindly unmute yourself and I will look for you and call on you to speak, please. Recognizing Connie, I believe.
Yeah, I'm Connie Schmall. I work for Economic Development Commission. We have been planning for our opportunity zone for a year now, and David and Sarah were on a committee to help us put a prospectus together, and this Renaissance zone fits nicely in the opportunity zone. It's the same area with some additions to it. Anything we can do to promote our downtown area, our opportunity zone, is a real plus for the city of Wilmer. Sarah and David and Aaron and I were both all part of a meeting with SBA people from SBA Association. Congressman Peterson's office was there. Small business development centers. They were quite intrigued by the Renaissance concept and what we're doing to promote people coming into our downtown area. So they saw it as a model program. And I would just love to see the city of Wilmer and this group do whatever they can to pass the Renaissance zone and these extra incentives for people to look at our downtown area.
Go ahead, Dave.
Thank you, Connie. I believe David has his hand up.
Is it okay, Jerry, if I go? Okay. Dave Ramstead, Sarah, you did a great job of outlining this first step in getting the Renaissance Zone established. And Linda, thank you so much for the letter of support and for your other support during the whole course of this. You've been fantastic. And we're excited to continue working with you, obviously, in the comp plan. I just want to say that this is actually, the Renaissance Zone has actually become very timely for the COVID-19 in terms of it being a great small business incentive for not only the business district, but for the entire area that is both the Opportunity Zone and Renaissance Zone. It also brings the scale of incentives down, because it brings the scale of incentives down to the average Wilmer citizen and business. The Opportunity Zone is fantastic, but it does require some pretty large players in terms of essentially accredited investors that have large net worths or large capital gains that they can invest in. The Renaissance Zone is a great complementary incentive overlay that really kind of reinforces or augments the Opportunity Zone. So I think it's a great way for everybody pretty much in the entire local area to take advantage of this. And I think it's an important step to helping these businesses as they come out to be able to do improvements on their businesses that they may have postponed, but they can do it more affordably with the grants and the free permits and et cetera. There's going to be a front facade grant and some other grants that we're trying to collaborate with the HRA to do. The Wilmer Municipal Plant is putting in some hookup charge incentives. And so we've had a lot of synergy with other groups that are actually going to bring in some things too. But again, that's going to be rolled out later on in the future. But thank you very much. I just really would encourage you to vote in favor of the Renaissance Zone. Thanks.
Aaron.
Yes, Aaron Backman with the EDC, and I was just going to speak in favor of the Renaissance Zone idea. I think it's a great pairing, if you will, between the Opportunity Zone and the Renaissance Zone that offers a menu of different things for people. I think the ones that are going to get the most interest right off the bat will be the permits, the tax abatement, and also I think some of the parking allowances are getting some attention with some of the developers. And so if you have something, a menu of things that is available for people in a concentrated area, I think some good things can happen. Last week, for instance, I received a call from one party that we've talked to in the past in the Twin Cities. And obviously several of the developers have taken a wait and see attitude in the last couple of weeks with what's happened in terms of the economy and stock market and so forth. But what was interesting to me was this individual, even though say medical office has kind of simmered down, if you will, this person was interested in re-exploring, if you will, housing. And that's good to see, and in particular in the zone area. So we have several parties that are interested in doing potentially housing projects in the zone in areas that really haven't seen a lot of investment for many years. And so if we can encourage that, I think that this would be a good step that the Planning Commission could do. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing and bring it back to the Planning Commission for discussion.
I think I'm really pleased that we have this kind of Renaissance program in mind. I think it will really help the community. It gives a lot of opportunities that I don't think we have. Hopefully you can hear what I'm saying. It's I think it gives us more opportunities across the board, particularly in that downtown area.
Steve, I saw you unmuted.
Yes, thank you. The first thing I would do is move to approve the zoning ordinance amendment and forward it to the council for introduction and adoption. And then I'll have a question afterwards.
Motion was made. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Sorry, go ahead, John.
We'll give it to John this time.
There you are. So if I recall correctly, I did have somebody ask me, and maybe this doesn't have anything to do with what we're doing here tonight, but had a question specifically regarding how the tax abatements are made to work in that. Is that something that's discussable here, or is that something that is going to be happening down the road, Sarah?
Yeah, so a couple of things on that. The tax abatement is not in this particular phase, if you will, of the ordinance. The removal, if you will, of those fees that are kind of alongside the building review process. A tax abatement or a tax increment financing project could still technically happen, which was part of the reason for us kind of, you know, triaging, okay, what goes in the first phase, what goes in the second phase. Ultimately, those are still policies of the city. Those could still move forward as long as they met all of the requirements. The goal of what it creating kind of a program within this particular ordinance will be when we add that additional component to this, will be to incentivize the reuse of property and to incentivize certain thresholds be met with new development. But again, there'll be kind of a whole policy that's drafted around that and what those criteria look like and what projects are available for that. The initial numbers that we were putting in the chart that we pulled from Moorhead, in doing a little bit more research, we realized that those numbers were far too high for this area and for what project values we were seeing on average over the past even 5 years. So those fee numbers have been adjusted slightly from what Moorhead's will be. They have come down per square foot, but they will be in alignment with similar projects that have happened in Willmar that we want to continue to see. But that will be coming in a future phase.
And that'll be coming before us, some of this other language yet? Or is this what we're going to see?
There will be additional language that you will see for sure. Because the fees are built into this ordinance, there's a good chance that the tax abatement will also come before you, but I can't guarantee it. It depends on if we're going to write it. If we're going to write it as an ordinance amendment to this ordinance in the zoning ordinance, it will definitely come before you. If it's written as just a city policy, then that will just go to city council. But I can keep you informed as to all of those moving parts.
Sure, that would be great. I've had a couple of people ask me specifically about that item, and of course I don't know what to tell them other than, you know, talk to the smart people downtown. Thank you.
Dave, that's right. Did you wish to speak to that?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I saw your hand up. Did you have something you wanted to add?
Thank you very much. Yep. Abatements generally are available and so are TIF anywhere in the city. What makes them unique, what's going to make them unique to the Renaissance Zone, is that we are going to weight them towards a certain project types, and that's what Sarah was talking about with meeting certain square footage thresholds and residential unit types and things like that. So with that, I would see, because it has that kind of architectural planning aspect to it, I see that probably coming to Planning Commission for approval. And it will be an application that the developers will complete, and there will be an evaluation process with it too, so for awarding of the abatement. So just wanted to clarify that.
All right, thank you. Any other questions or discussion from the commission? John.
Hi, just kind of wondering if we could talk a little bit more about just kind of what concretely what the parking credits are, almost kind of like the parking offsets are we talking like a ratio of the number of stalls to square feet, or just what would that look like in as real of terms as we can get at this point?
Yeah, for sure. It will be contextual depending on the project, depending on where the project takes place. By the way that we've kind of drafted it and formed it in this particular phase, we start to get towards some of that ability to allow for that context to kind of speak to the projects. The way it's written, they can have up to that 50% parking credit, so they could have half as many parking spaces as the ordinance currently requires. Some of our reasoning behind and thoughts behind some of this too is that because of the age of our zoning ordinance, standards for parking requirements in most and a lot of other cities have changed over the last 20, 30 years. And they align actually more with about 50%, maybe 75% of what we require. So they require you know, we require two parking spaces per dwelling unit right now. A lot of other cities require 1.25, 1.5 parking spaces per dwelling unit. It really depends on the context of the project and what the use of that project is. But they also have to meet some of those requirements that are listed there, you know, some sort of contextual or below grade parking, some sort of public parking, you know, including other modes of transportation that might be encouraged instead of having those parking spaces. That's big, right? So that we have less cars on the road to begin with, and starting to kind of move in that direction, so less parking spaces are needed in general.
Would it extend possibly to parking lot entrance length in terms of what's our ordinance right now? Is it 24 feet? Or is it, it's 24.
There's a weird glitch in that system, but ultimately it's 24 feet for residential and 32 for commercial, I believe. Commercial.
So would there potentially be an allowance for 24 with a commercial? Would that be considered?
Oh, yeah, somebody could always go less. Those are in place because we don't want people to go like larger than that.
Mm-hmm. David, and I think Ralph had his hand up after that. Oh, never mind. David, go ahead.
I just wanted to add to what Sarah said. You know, the way it's drafted right now, and again, it can change, but we're not going to bring it forward for a little while. But, you know, we kind of have a lot of little incentives in there for, like, if they have bicycle parking, they could probably knock off a few parking spaces. If they have a zip car where, you know, tenants that are there can sign out this common car, and they can eliminate some parking spaces for that. If there's some green space or some amenities or something like that, or some height differences from some of the context that Sarah was mentioning, they could probably knock off a few spaces for that. And conceivably, they could hit all of these buttons and, you know, take off a number of spaces. You know, it's also some sort of we're kind of thinking about some sort of a combination that you mentioned about. If they have commercial spaces that are interior, and there's some sharing that we may be able to knock off some spaces there too. But so all that kind of stuff has been drafted in the draft. Thanks.
Aaron?
Yes, I was just going to mention that one development we've worked on Highway 12. They were aware of the two spaces per unit requirement of the city. That was one of the very first things that they brought up, was on the parking, and it makes it more difficult, more feasible if it was, more difficult to try to cite the facility or facilities, and if it was in that more 1.25 or 1.5, it was more feasible for them. So I think the parking, even though it may seem like a smaller issue, it is a significant issue for development.
Aaron, just to piggyback on what you're saying, I would imagine that's due to land acquisition costs. And if you peg that to housing, there's a lot of infrastructure that is just going to sit empty if we have this two space requirement as opposed to something a little less, correct? And that would be one of the things that a developer would be looking at?
Correct. They showed a couple of site drawings, and at 2.0, it's a vast parking area. Do we really want that amount of hard surface or impermeable surface? That would be one of my questions. I think that there's ways of being accommodating that make sense depending on the units as well, the types of units.
I would add one last thing in, Christina.
Good.
Another thing to think about too on that same note with the parking is that because this is really the Renaissance Zone is where Wilmer began, really, right? So we're looking at a lot of infill, which means that there's already development that exists in this area, and we're trying to put new projects in these areas and kind of either combine some old lots that were much smaller when they were first created, or you know, putting a project in between a couple other existing buildings or developments. And so sometimes to fit those in, we need that ability to be a little bit creative and be a little bit flexible, allow for some of that, you know, really encourage that camouflage parking so that they can maximize the above ground space and put that parking underneath that is still needed, but also, again, allow for kind of the capitalization of that limited space that really is within the Renaissance Zone. If you look at this, at the statewide, the Renaissance Zone we have is we're making a little bit bigger than the Opportunity Zone, but our Opportunity Zone is probably one of the smaller, if not the probably one of the smallest Opportunity Zones designated throughout the state. A lot of the Opportunity Zones designated are like these big, vast chunks of land that are undeveloped and allow for kind of the mind to dream wild, whereas we're really concentrated and we want to be mindful of that. And think about some of those parking provisions.
David, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to add, it's been a while since we revisited the parking incentives or concessions. If I remember right, I think we were actually thinking about even going down one-to-one, but I think we were talking about requiring interior parking as kind of Sarah was alluding to with the trying to save the land, and we've got so much density in the Opportunity Zone, Renaissance Zone area. So just something to kind of think about when that finally does come, whether or not that's something that would, you know, be tolerable. But that's the that is the standard model in the metro area, under the apartment building parking. And also, I think 1-to-1 is actually the ratio that they use now across the entire metro area.
Jerry, did you have something? You're on mute.
So what we as a group want? We want 1-to-1, 0.5-to-1, or I don't know how you divide that up. Or do we try and get in as much parking as we can? I don't know. I had miles of parking lots in the district, so I didn't need to worry about that, but we probably need to think about that at some point in time early on rather than at the tail end of it. Am I wrong? It must be, nobody's agreeing.
Hi, Jerry. I agree. These are, I think what we want to do is we want to set minimum standards. I mean, obviously, if they want to go higher in their parking numbers, they could. But I think what we want to do is we want to set a minimum that we require, and we want to keep that minimum relatively, generous. We want to stay on the generous side in order to attract development. So I think the real question is, if we do get it down to 1-to-1, you know, do we want to require interior parking? And if they want to do some surface parking, they can. With whatever they have left over on the lot, but it's kind of like the building code. You know, all the building codes are minimum standards. The architects can obviously do more, but they have to at least meet those minimum standards.
Okay. Well, it seems to me like we could have a lot of parking, or we could have not a lot, depending upon how we set up the rules. Am I right, sir?
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you. I'm not often right.
Rolf, do you have something?
Yes, I do. I just want to make a comment on the parking too. I see Jerry's point, but I would think there could be bring in the V word, variances. I'm not sure if that's something that could be looked at if someone comes in and looks at wanting to have more parking or that type of thing, or am I off base with that?
Well, I make a motion that Sarah be in charge of it.
Having fewer parking spaces than the ordinance requires is an allowable variance application. Yes.
I was thinking more as far as more, not as far as less. I'm thinking of more parking spaces than.
Oh, yeah. And someone, as it stands, someone could always have more than what we require right now. They're kind of what Dave was talking about, having a minimum versus having a maximum allowed parking space is kind of a debated, interesting topic. We don't need to go too far in the weeds of it right now, but certainly something that we can continue to consider. And it sounds like maybe we could have a few other discussions when we bring more of the zoning language other than these credits right now in that form, if we want to change that in the future.
I'm just going to put in my 2 cents that I would really look forward to seeing something done on that East Highway 12 corridor. I've never really enjoyed driving through there because I think it's been kind of a sore spot for the city of Wilmer when visitors come through from the east to go through our downtown. It's been kind of a I'm not sure what the word to use. Blight, and maybe that's something in some of the areas, some of the buildings that are there. And by the way, whatever happened to our rib place that was supposed to be there? It's more like a car lot than a rib place. But do you remember that, Sarah? You probably weren't around when that happened. Yeah, the old Dairy Queen was supposed to be a rib cafe or a rib restaurant. It looks like more like a car lot now. Everybody, I was on the board at that time. Steve, you were on the board. Terry, I believe you, and Cletus. Jonathan, you remember that? No? Wow, I got a memory. Yay! All right, good.
See heads on.
Just old.
Shake it.
Okay, that's enough for me.
Cletus, were you saying you remember the rib place, or do you have something to say?
Rolf, the rib place never got off the ground. The person that was going to own that project couldn't get it running. We worked for several months on a contract for deed on that transaction, and nobody followed through. In response to the parking issue, we need to take a look at the end user of these projects as well. If we're having housing developments and you can expect a 2-adult family in any one of these housing units, generally owning 2 cars, needing for employment, I'd see it difficult to be relaxing the parking standards. There's a reason why our ordinance has the standards they have now. Just my comments.
Anyone else before we go to a vote? Seeing none, this is a voice vote. You will all need to unmute yourself in order to vote. All in favor of accepting the ordinance, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, aye. Same sign. Motion carries. Next item on the agenda, I will open the public hearing for Pleasant View Drive rezoning R2 to R4 and hand it over to Sarah again. Thank you all very much. Sarah, you're on mute.
Thank you. The next item before us is a rezoning from R2 to R4. And R2 is a 1 and 2 family residential, so this allows up to 2 units. We've had a lot of discussions with people about, well, can I get a 3rd unit in my property on this site? And they're really, R2 is R2 and it allows up to 2 units, and that's kind of where the buck stops there. R4 allows for quite a few more dwelling units per property. Some of it is based on property size. So we have a minimum lot size that has to be met in order to allow certain multifamily dwelling units on particular sites. So this particular area that we're looking at doing, again, kind of like some of these other rezonings you've seen, it's not just one property. We've looked a little bit more comprehensively at the area, what makes sense, what's contextual. So this is over on Pleasant View Drive, Southeast, 14th Avenue Southeast. The city currently owns 3 lots that are over here, and we've owned them since the 80s. We acquired them through tax forfeit and have had them ever since. They're part of Pleasant View 4th edition. So if you're aware of where Giovanni's and like the Village Children's Museum is, these lots are just west of there. 15th Street Flats is not far away from this area. We've got quite a few multifamily residential properties. The property just north of these lots are also zoned R4. Each lot is about 18,500 square feet, which means that we can have up to 5 units if the lots stay individual. If we start combining the lots, then we might look at, there might be, you know, maybe 12 units could be allowed on 2 lots, kind of a concept. What else do I have to tell you about this? It's city initiated. There are a number of other things, and we'll talk about the next, I believe the next item is also, yeah, kind of in relation to this, and we can talk about that. There's a number of moving parts that are kind of in play with a particular project that have triggered some of this. What I'm going to tell you is that the rezoning is, we're bringing that before you because we think that that's contextual for these properties. It aligns with our comprehensive plan, and we think regardless of whether these parcels get sold to people or whether the city holds on to them for another year or 5 years, we think that this zoning makes the most sense for these properties. Having undeveloped kind of low medium density residential property in town is pretty much not available anywhere else. And so it allows for a little bit more variety to be brought to the market for options for developers and those looking to invest in that kind of that area. So with that, it would be staff recommendation to approve this and forward it on to the city council.
Thank you, Sarah. This is again a public hearing. Anyone that wishes to speak on this zoning may do so. I believe there is no one from the public that is here to speak on this issue. Therefore, I will close the public hearing and turn it over to the Planning Commission for discussion. Seeing no... Oh, Steve?
I'll just make the motion to approve. Where did it go? There we go. Approve the rezone and forward it to the council for ordinance introduction and adoption.
Thank you. Motion made. Is there a second?
Cletus Rank seconds.
Cletus seconded.
Second.
Ralph, you threw your hand up. Did you have something?
Yeah, I got a question for Sarah. Did you say the lots to the south, are they R4, or are you talking to ones, you said north of the, didn't you? North, okay.
Yeah, so the lots north are actually the south end of Independence Place.
Yeah.
Teresa owns those properties to the north. Those are zoned R4. The lots directly south across from Pleasant View are zoned R2. We didn't think, the city still owns a couple of those properties, but those ones are smaller in size. It didn't make sense to rezone those to R4. But then again, just south of those city-owned properties across from Pleasant View, you get into that kind of 15th Street flat, Somerset, Dana Heights kind of area in that, in there. So there's quite a few other multifamily housing in that area.
Yeah, I live at 11th Street Southeast, so I walk that route right through there all the time. So.
Well, there you go.
You need a second, or have we got a second?
We have a second, Jerry.
Okay, no, I'm fine.
Any other questions or comments from the commission before we vote? Seeing none, this is again a voice vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next item. Ian, sale of city-owned property.
Kind of Dave and I can tag team this one. So this, according to charter, city council has authority over land sales, but planning commission always weighs in on whether it's that land sale is in alignment with the comp plan, and kind of gets their two cents in. So this is a sale of property of one of those pieces that we're looking at rezoning. It would be the westernmost piece, highlighted on page 16 in a yellow box. So it's directly, it's right next to the stormwater pond that we own there. This land sale is required to be reviewed and have a purchase agreement before the interested applicant can submit any other sort of plan review or conditional use permit to planning commission. They have to have a vested interest in the property. And so that's why this land sale is coming before you now. The applicant intends to, really has already submitted, but not formally because this, they don't have this interest yet in the property, but they have submitted an intent to file for a plan review with the planning commission for a house move. There's a business on First Street that's looking at expanding, and to my knowledge that has not changed at this point due to the pandemic, but this house would be moved off of First Street to this property, and then the other business would expand and buy that other property. But we kind of have two things going on, and I know we've gotten some correspondence from some people kind of weighing in on the house move. The house move is not what we're reviewing right now. We still want to make it transparent that that's kind of the intention with some of this. There's a clause in the purchase agreement that allows for the city to buy back the property from the purchaser should the project not go through. So there's a little bit of there's a contingency in there, if you will. But right now we're reviewing just the sale of property, and it is intended to stay residential. So it would be staff recommendation to approve or to recommend approval of this to City Council.
Cletus?
Sarah, can you disclose what the address is, or what the house is that's intended to be removed at this point?
Yeah, it's 1010 First Street South. So it's just south of, if you know where Bombshells and Browse is, it used to be AT&T. It's just south, it's a yellow house. It's just south of this property. When the applicant, when the House Move agenda item comes before Planning Commission, the intention would be for our next meeting on May 6th. There will be pictures of that particular property, and then we'll take some pictures of the area too to kind of show show the general area of the neighborhood that it's going to be moved into. And the applicant will they've listed out, you know, if new siding is going to go on or what that particular makeup looks like.
Sarah, what was it? Yeah.
Oh,
sorry, I stopped on you, Steve.
All right, thank you. Question for Sarah: Are you able at all to talk about the reason? Two questions: the reason for interest in this property by whomever, and if I remember correctly, there was one of these parcels in this area probably within the last 6-7 months that we approved a land sale for, and there was for a relatively higher price. Can you is that a subject for us, or is that not pertinent to what we're talking about? Rolf or Jeff can help me out with this, but it seems to me there was a parcel in the mid-20s that we moved through within the last, I thought it was the last 6-7.
Boy, I'm trying to think of what that might have been. Phyllis Keel purchased a piece of property as well as the Habitat for Humanity have both. Those are kind of the most recent residential property sales that I'm aware of that have happened in this area that I can think of. To my knowledge, those were both actually less than what this land sale will be for. This piece of property is significantly larger, probably double the size of what those two pieces were.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Dave, if you want to chime in on that at all.
Sure. Yeah, the sale price ends up being about $1.06 a square foot. It's $19,000 for the lot plus $1,000 in special assessments for a total of $20,000. We're currently selling commercial industrial lots at $1.25 a square foot. So this is roughly 19 cents per square foot less, which is not out of question for the difference between a commercial and a residential lot. I'm not familiar with those. I think those lots were sold quite a while ago, but I'm not familiar with those.
And maybe I thought it was only 6 or 7 months ago, but you know, it could have been further back than that. But I believe
yeah,
the last
I came up
for in that area was in the mid-20s.
Ralph, did you want to get in? Oh, you're on mute.
Yeah, I'm up. Okay, I was wondering if it wasn't the corner lot that's right there on the corner that's the last one that's sold in that area. That's a new home there. The one on the corner of 15th and Pleasant View. If that's the one you're thinking about, Steve.
Sorry. Yeah, that may be. It was something right in this same area.
I will tell you that the lots have, we've owned the lots for well over 20 years and they haven't moved. So we're hoping that the rezoning that we just did plus this sale will move them.
Steve, yes.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I notice in the notes it says this parcel will be accessed via 14th Street Southeast. Is that correct?
That should be 14th yeah. Avenue.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, it is 14th Avenue. Yeah, so it's a little funky. The map shows that Pleasant View Drive is directly south of there. Technically, 14th Avenue goes all the way to the curve and then the curve becomes Pleasant View. one of those things.
Thank you.
Yeah, when I got this notice, I took a walk over there, tried to remember, okay, I think that's supposed to be 14th Avenue, not Pleasant View Drive. And I'm going, why is it this way? And I thought, oh, sure, the curve in the road. So.
Jeff, yes.
Sir, how many parking spots, off-street parking spots with this lot have to have with the threeplex?
They would have to have 2 parking spaces per unit. To my knowledge, I think there will be 3 dwelling units. Again, we'll have all of those details next time, but it will be 2 dwelling units per, or 2 parking spaces per dwelling unit will be required for this parcel. Okay.
I don't think we've had a meeting since the city's snow emergency came into effect, and they only had to do that once. Mm-hmm. That's something that, I don't know, with all the rentals in town is going to be a issue. So I guess we really need to keep track of that, especially on new ones right from the get-go.
Yeah, there's been some interesting conversations had because of that, the snow emergency and rental property and parking and all of that, so.
Are there any plans for garage on the property?
I believe there will be, yeah. And that will count towards whatever, usually garage space counts towards parking spaces available. Ross,
yes.
We'll have a full site plan when they, when we review the plan review for the house move.
Sarah, what was the address you gave to Cletus on the home that's going to be moved over there?
1010 First Street.
1010 First Street. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah, so are you looking for a motion from us tonight?
Yeah, so it'll be a motion. To approve the land sale and forward it to City Council.
Okay, thank you.
I make the motion to approve it and forward it to the City Council.
Motion made. Is there a second?
Second.
Jeff seconds. Any further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor, say aye.
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 Oh, same sign. Motion carries. Next item on the agenda, CAVHS sign permit.
Give me 1 second. I'm plugging my computer in here. Okay. So the last item on our agenda is for a sign permit. If some of you recall, we've reviewed sign permits for a couple of the school buildings in town recently because they were on their zoned government institution. And so in the zoning ordinance, we have a requirement that any sign greater than 20 square feet in a government institution zone is approved by Planning Commission. So the CABS facility, the Child Adolescent Behavior Hospital, going out by the Civic Center, is working on their sign permits. They've submitted 2, one for directional signage and one for a monument sign. And so you'll have the application itself, but then on page 19, you'll kind of see the layout of the building. They're looking at the signs being along Transportation Road. The directional signage, I've kind of marked out what's going on with the site itself. So the directional signage, they had originally submitted for 2. One of them is not required because it won't be viewed from the public roadway itself, from Transportation Drive. It's kind of more of an internal directional signage. So the monument sign is going to be 32 square feet. The directional signage that they have submitted is approximately 12 and a half square feet. So I went ahead and approved the directional signage within my authority as staff, if you will. But we need a go ahead to approve the 32 square foot monument sign for this site. Altogether, we'll be under 50 square feet. A lot of the school properties were approved signs of approximately 80 square feet. This is well within what the precedent has been set for these sort of signs. So I, it would be staff recommendation to go ahead and approve these. And again, we're just looking for a motion to approve the sign.
I'll make a motion to approve it.
Rolf, a second.
Motion made and seconded. Discussion.
These are just backlit signs, right? These aren't a digital billboard of any sort.
No, correct.
How far back would this be from the curb?
It's like it's quite a ways.
Yeah, it doesn't state it super well on the site plan. According to their application, the setback for the monument sign, so that one kind of by Arena Drive there, that one's about 15 feet back from the right of way. Yeah, we only require 8.
I just asked.
Absolutely. Yep. And then it looked, the directional signage is all for even further back from that. So they're well within requirements there. Height is not a problem either.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, I see on here the in the initial application it was adjusted the height and width of the sign to 4 feet for height, but the overall height still 5'8".
Yeah, so the overall height is still to the top of the sign from the base, but when we calculate square footage of a sign, we only go by the face. So if you look on the, on again, on that page 19, or maybe even on 20 might be a better way to describe it. The blue where their signage is, that would be considered the sign face. So it would just be the 4 foot by the 8 foot, right. And that gray base underneath doesn't get count in the square footage of the sign itself. Mm-hmm. But the overall height will still remain that 5'8".
Okay, thank you.
We have a motion and a second.
We have a motion and a second. There's no other discussion. I believe we're ready to vote. Okay, all in favor, say aye.
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 Both same sign. Motion carries. Any miscellany tonight, Sarah?
No miscellany.
All right. And I would entertain a motion made. Second. Is there a second?
Sure, I'll second.
Motion made and second. And all in favor, say aye.
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 We are adjourned. Thank
good
you.
Good to see
all.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, good to see you.